Well, it's good to see you this morning. I love this cool weather we're having, don't you? At least it's a little bit cooler. And I hope you're praying for rain tonight. They say it's going to stop at Interstate 20, and I live south of that, but we'll see how our prayer life is, those of us that live south of Interstate 20. It'd be great to have some rain, wouldn't it? So that's Texas, though. Well, take your Bible and turn to Genesis 37. Genesis chapter 37. If you need a student handout, if you raise your hand, if anybody needs one, did not get one, raise your hand, we'll get that to you. Everybody pretty well have one? All right, that's good. Guys, you did a good job. Thank you. We're going to look today, we're in a study about the journeys of faith of people that were people of faith, some of the greater characters of the Bible that we would know of, and how they had to have faith, exercise faith, lived by faith. And that's such a vital, important thing for us to be able to do that. So just mark your place there in Genesis 37, and we'll be looking at some different verses as we go along in that chapter and then in a couple of other chapters. There's was a guy named Horatio Nelson. Horatio Nelson was just a young lad. He was sort of sick most of the time, and yet he wanted to go out to sea. He always wanted to go out on a boat. He would go out with his uncle, who was a captain of a boat, and he didn't want him coming along because he seemed to always get sick and be weak. But Horatio's mother died, and so guess who she left him with? That uncle. And so he had to go with him and be with him, and he got his training, and he wanted to succeed so much that he just stuck with it. And finally he became the commander of a British ship called the Agamemnon, and that ship was a ship that won a lot of battles, lost a few battles, but he really made a name for himself, and he wouldn't quit. He just kept on going through pain and trials and sickness and all of that. Finally, he led England in a defeat of Napoleon, and that was at Trafalgar. So he never gave up. He kept going. He had problems, had difficulties, but he still achieved the goal that he wanted to for his country. What does it take to stop us from serving God? What does it take to slow us down? And he was committed to this cause. Should we not be committed to Christ, totally committed to his cause because of what he's done for us? The fact that he paid our sin debt, thank God, and went to the cross for us. We ought to be committed to Christ. Timothy said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." But listen to this, what he said, "I have fought a good fight. I've given it my best. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7, as Paul was writing to Timothy. And we all have problems, that's for sure. Not a person in the building here today that doesn't have problems at some point. But we need to have the same testimony that Paul did. That is, I fought a good fight. I'm going on. I'm doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph remained faithful. And Paul remained faithful. And Joseph was very much like the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, he is like a type of Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. So was Jesus. Joseph was loved by his father. So was Jesus. Joseph was victorious over temptation. So was Jesus. Joseph was taken into custody because of a false witness. So was Jesus. Joseph suffered from doing what was right. So did Jesus. And Joseph was promoted from prison to rule the nation. Jesus was promoted from prison to rule the nations. He arose. He's at the right hand of the Father. And that will take place someday. As we look at Joseph's journey today, spend a lot of time looking at that, we're going to admire, I hope, his strength to remain faithful in very difficult things. He had trials that were tough. He had temptations that were really tough. Not only that, he had great blessings that were really could have been a temptation to him. And so he's a true Bible hero, and we look at his life and hopefully copy some of those things. And here, I think, is the main secret to Joseph's strength. And I hope you get this, and it really means something to you. You might want to jot it down on your notes if it isn't on there. And that is his unconditional faith in God. He didn't have any reservations. He had total faith in God. All that he went through, he had faith in God. And I believe that's the secret of his strength. So, number one in your outline, it was a journey of faith. A journey of faith. Genesis 35, let's look back there. Verses 1 through 5. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Chapter 35, verse 1. And dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And so this is part of the history of where he was going, what was happening during his life during that particular time. Now, faith during any of that, as Jacob went out, faith is the thing that's so important. That's, what is faith? It's trusting God's plan. Trusting God's plan. We may not understand it, but we have to trust it. And Hebrews says in 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to have faith. Faith is important. Believing God, accepting God's plan. And then A in your outline, faith to receive God's revelation. Faith to receive God's revelation. Chapter 37, verse number 5. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. He shared it with them, and they hated him yet the more. So he got God's revelation. He believes what God revealed to him, as is seen in that verse. And so God revealed his plan to Joseph in a dream. And back in those days, the dreams had great prophetic value to them. And even though Joseph was a teenager, was young, still the family would pay attention to a dream that was presented as a dream that came from God. And so the family, in other words, they took it seriously. And that's why they got very upset about it. So it takes faith to receive and believe the truths that are found in the Word of God for you and me. We believe what God said in his Word, just like Joseph believed what God told him in the dream. He received that. But we, like Joseph, exercise faith and we receive God's Word. Whatever he says is what we ought to believe. What he presents in his Word is what we have to go by. That's how we have to live, faith in God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So it's the word of God, faith in God's word, just like Joseph had faith in what he revealed to him. And then B, faith to recite God's revelation. Faith to receive it, he received it, and now he's going to recite it. Chapter 37, verses 6 through 8. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And if you can just picture that in your mind. And he said, behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf, bowed down. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? They knew what the dream meant. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Well, he was just sharing with them what God had told him. Faith to recite God's revelation, and that's what he was doing. And so Joseph acknowledged his revelation was from God, and that he had faith in that revelation, and so much so that he was willing to share that with his brothers. Immediately, you can see they didn't like it. They resented it. And Joseph already, they didn't like because he had the coat of many colors. And he was a child of the old age of Jacob, and of course, of his, let's say, favorite wife. And so all of that entered into it. They were jealous of those things. So 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this, but as we were all allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. This is so important right here. Not as pleasing men. We speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. He didn't have a choice. He received what God gave him. He shared exactly what gave him and what God gave him. And that's what we need to do. We need to speak not as pleasing men. Joseph wasn't trying to please his brothers. He was doing what God said. We need to speak what God tells us to speak to people. They may not like it, but we need to share the good news of the gospel with people all around us. That's not always easy, is it? It's always right. And we don't do it sometimes because we just don't have faith in God and in the power of the gospel to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So his brothers didn't like his dream, but yet it was God's dream. Your neighbors now may not like what you tell them, but you still need to tell them about Jesus. We are very hesitant to do that. We have the gospel message. It's God's message through us to those people. And so it was with Joseph. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God was with Joseph. God is with us when we go out and represent him. And so he'll be with us in our journeys of faith. And, you know, God knows exactly what you need today. I don't know all your needs, but God knows exactly what you need today, and he'll lead you in that journey of faith. So it's a journey of faith. And then secondly, it's a journey of faithfulness. Of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, you've heard this many times, no doubt, that a man be found what? Faithful. It's required, if you're a true steward, disciple of Christ, that we be found faithful. Again, suffering, being misunderstood, being persecuted in some different ways, is always inevitable, and even physical problems, that type thing. But we can expect that we're going to have some of these things in our life. When he was sold into slavery by his brothers, Joseph still remained steadfast. It was a journey of faithfulness, and he stayed faithful to the Lord even though he was going through all those problems. He never quit. In fact, he never wavered at all. Didn't even waver. Each trial in Joseph's life didn't discourage him, but made him stronger, made him have more confidence in God's will for his life. It strengthened his faith. So this is a journey of faithfulness. A, when he was betrayed by his brethren, Genesis 37 and verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. The brethren envied him. They didn't like it. And he had told them the dream. And the father even asked him, what are you saying? You're going to be over your mother and me and your 11 brothers? And so he was talking to him about that dream that he had. And they persecuted him. They planned to kill him. They didn't like him. They wanted to cast him to a pit and ultimately did that. But Joseph stayed faithful. He didn't understand perhaps what was going on. But he didn't retaliate. He didn't try to get even with them. He just chose to trust God. Chapter 37 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him." That's what they want to do, kill him. "Cast him into a pit, and we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They said, "We want to slay him." And that was really what they intended to do, was to kill him. So we're going to experience some of those seasons in our lives that we're going to have opposition. But we've got to remember, God is always with us. Whatever we face, if you're saved, God is always with us and he's always in control. As a matter of fact, God even plans for some of your enemies to be your enemies. He allows that, and in some cases even plans that, because your enemies may envy and persecute you. They may gossip about you. They may slander you. They may make fun of you for doing what God tells you to do. But all of this God can use. God is simply trying to, giving us trying circumstances so that we can draw closer to him. And then B, when he was sold by his brethren, he was faithful when he was betrayed by them, and then when he was sold by them. Verses 27 and 28. And he said, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh," and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. How'd you like to have brothers like that? And they said, well, Reuben said, "Let's don't kill him, but we'll just put him in there," and he was having hope that he would see his daddy again. But anyway, God was working all of that out. They didn't kill him, and they put him in that pit. He was sold by his brethren. Jealousy caused it. Envy caused it. They sold him into slavery. He became a slave. And they were telling Jacob about it, that Joseph was dead. That's what their plan was. Do you ever feel like maybe your friends and family sort of turn on you, that they're sort of against you, and they really don't like what you're going to say, or they don't appreciate you? Well, if you have times like that, remember Joseph. Ours probably never would get that bad, but Joseph was. And Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And that's why we should be faithful. Even in persecution, we're to be faithful. God didn't say be successful, as we would talk about the world's success, but God did say be faithful. We're to be faithful, always faithful to him. Slavery didn't look like success, I'm sure, to Joseph, but he was faithful right in the midst of it. It looked more like a tragedy to him, an unchangeable tragedy, but God had these steps of his journey in his hands. And so he just kept trusting God. I don't know if I'd have went that far with it. I would have probably said, "Man, what are you doing to me, Father? What's going on here? All of this happening to me, and all I'm trying to do is live for you." And sometimes we felt that way probably at some points in our life when we've gone through some things and we've said, "What are you doing to me, God?" But Joseph wasn't like that. He just simply trusted God. And then see in your outline, when he was blessed in Egypt, he was still trusting God, and his journey was one of faithfulness. Genesis 39 and verse 2 there in your Bible, Genesis 39:2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." You see how God was still with him. Joseph continued to remain faithful, and of course, God was faithful to him. He had suffering. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He was accused wrongly by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned unjustly. How would we fare if we had to go through all of that? But Joseph just kept trusting God. 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, complete, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God will do that, even though we've gone through some of these difficulties. So perhaps the greatest test for Joseph was the one coming where he was going to be exalted, where he was going to be lifted up to the second man in the kingdom. Genesis 41, look there in your Bible. Genesis 41, verses 39 and 40. Genesis 41, 39. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has shown thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." He's at this point where God has blessed him. He's the second most important man in all of the kingdom, just under Pharaoh. Now, I tell you, that could have been a great trial for him. And to most of us, it probably would be. But he did not boast. He was not proud. He gave God the glory for it. The dream came true, just like he said it was going to happen. All of that happened. He was heavily laden there with the responsibility. This was not an easy job, by the way. And probably he was brought into different temptation. "I'm the second man in the kingdom. I can do what I want to, have whoever I want to," and all of that. But Joseph did not do that. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalm 75, 7. You see, God is the one who raised him up. And God raises up some and puts down others. He never forgot who blessed him. And so God blessed him in everything that he did. Are we that way? Do we not forget? Every blessing we have today is a blessing from God because we are his children. Lee Iacocca, you remember him, he was a legendary car maker. And in his autobiography, he wrote these words, "Here I am in the twilight years of my life, still wondering what it's all about. I can tell you this, fame and fortune is for the birds," he said. And really it is. And so Solomon was talking about that as our pastor's been preaching, how Solomon looked at things under the sun. It's all vanity. And that's what Iacocca was saying. And then Joseph was unjustly accused, verses 7 through 9, Genesis 39, verses 7 through 9. He said, "It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And he sought him out, there's none no greater. And then how can I," verse 9, "do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He didn't wait till he got to the crisis. His mind was already made up. And so when the crisis came, he knew exactly how to handle the crisis. And he was unjustly criticized, unjustly treated because of that and accused. Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph. That was a terrible thing, and he refused it. 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity," or love, "peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And don't be given to youthful lust. Live for God. Temptation's going to come to us in different forms, different ways. Maybe depression. It may be pride. It may be a critical heart. It may be bitterness. It may be moral. It may be pornography. It may be something like that. But these things, temptations are going to come. But God wants a clean vessel. And so we've got to guard against choosing wrong whenever we're tempted. And that's how we maintain our integrity. And it's not just those great big old things that we always think of. It's a lot of the simple things that we are often guilty of. Maintain our integrity. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph, and Joseph was faithful to God. He lost his coat, somebody said, but he kept his character. Amen. That's good. And another person said, character isn't created in a crisis. It only comes to light then, when there is a crisis. Then he was imprisoned for his faith, chapter 39, verse 20. And then number four, God's mercy sustained him, verse 21 of chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. And then the Lord was with him, Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. God honored his faithfulness. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards, as we've said, that a man be found faithful. And that's one of the great requirements. And number three, we have a journey of faith, a journey of faithfulness. And very quickly, number three, the journey of forgiveness, a journey of forgiveness. And this is one we really struggle with sometimes. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14-15, follow peace with all men and holiness, which with no man, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If we allow bitterness in our life, Joseph didn't allow it, but if we allow it, the devil can use it. When we are angry at somebody and bitter at somebody, maybe somebody in this church, then the devil blinds our eyes. And the psalmist reminded us, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Go after it. That's the Bible way to do it. And so Joseph followed that pattern. Under number three, he forgave his brothers. We don't have time to read these verses, but in verses 1 through 5, chapter 45, Joseph forgave them. They thought he was going to kill them. The first time, they didn't realize who he was. Later, when Jacob died, they thought, now he's going to kill us. But they were afraid. But Joseph realized that God had used all of this, all of these things in his life to bring him to the place of honor, and he didn't offend and take offense against his brothers. And then B in your outline, he showed the grace of God. He showed the grace of God. On one occasion, he placed their money back in their sacks, just a little symbol of the grace. Genesis 42:25, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money with his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. If it had been a good Baptist, he'd have put a little poison in there, but he forgave them. He was good to them. Then he showed the purpose of God. See in your outline. He showed the purpose of God. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 7. Chapter 45, verse 7. And he said, and God sent me before you, all of this, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God spared me to save all of the whole nation of Israel. That's what he's saying. And Joseph, just like Joseph and his brothers, our circumstances are directed by God. And whatever you're going through today, whatever you may go through, God has an eternal purpose in it. He's in charge of it. We don't understand it, but he does. And so these circumstances in Joseph's life were directed by God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by whom? Not the wife, but God. And not the children, but God. And so we have to trust him. Romans 8:28, one of the most precious verses in all of the Bible. They're all precious, but this one just is outstanding to help us. And we know that all things Not some things, but all things. Good things, bad things, in-between things, unpleasant things, pleasant things, you name it. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose. And then D in your outline, he focused on the Lord. He kept his focus where it belonged. Not his circumstances. That'll get you down. But he focused on the Lord. Genesis 50, 19 through 21. Let's look there real quick as we close out. Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." He said God had a purpose, and that is the purpose, and he showed the purpose of God. So he trusted God, and God honored that. Joseph focused on the Lord, not his circumstances. So Joseph had a heavenly perspective. What kind of perspective do we have today? Is it circumstantial, all that's going on around us, and we're focusing on all of that and our national problems? Joseph had a heavenly perspective. God meant it for good, and he just believed that. And I wonder if we see our situations like we should from a heavenly perspective. Joseph also met an earthly need. He comforted his brothers, and he spake kindly unto them. See, whenever we focus on the Lord, we can do that. When we focus on God, we can be kind even to those that are not kind to us. We don't get mad and pout and get angry and hold grudges. That's a sin. That's a terrible thing to do. When we focus on the Lord, our actions will be Christ-like, and our actions will be Christ-honoring, Christ-honoring. That's if we focus on the Lord. So Joseph's journey to Egypt was unplanned, but it was all according to God's plan. Joseph is a great example to us of the steadfast commitment that we should have as Christians, no matter what, the steadfast commitment we should have. So at the end of his journey, Joseph was at all times, as he looked back on it, and we look back on it, he was found faithful all the time during his journey. May not have gone according to his plans, but it did go according to God's plans. His plans are always better. His life did something. It brought delight and honor to God. Is that not what we want to do with our lives? Bring delight and honor to God? If we keep a heavenly perspective and we depend on the Lord, and we do what God says and all of that, then God's going to honor us, and he'll be honored and glorified. Father, thank you for your word, and help us to glean something from it that would help us as we live the rest of our life, and as we continue our journey, a journey that should be a journey of faith. No matter what we face, help us to trust you in it all, and may you be glorified in all things in our lives. And help us to keep that heavenly perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.